be the last Sunday in 1 Peter, and then we'll have a week off. I'll be up in Minnesota at the confirmation retreat.
I won't be here, but there's still church. We'll be clear about that. So that's March 9th. And then we're going to go into 2 Peter. If you haven't picked it up, 1 Peter has a theme about suffering. And that's picked up again in chapter 4. And we're going to take a big chunk today. Today, chapter 4. Next week, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 4. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness, and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers over a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, or making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. And we just ask this morning as we continue, as we look at this passage, to just give us wisdom, guidance, and understanding. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said at the beginning, if you haven't noticed, Peter talks a lot about suffering. Right from the first chapter up until the end, it's brought up again and again. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. Now, so Peter is very clear that Jesus suffered physical pain. Sometimes this is translated as Christ suffered in the flesh. So Peter is making it very clear that Jesus had a physical body. In some ways, he was addressing a heresy that was coming out at this time that said that Jesus only appeared to be human, that he didn't really have a body. There was a belief called Gnosticism, which really emphasized the spiritual side. You know, but Peter's very clear that Christ suffered physical pain. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. And since Christ suffered physical pain, we must be ready to suffer too. We must arm ourselves with the same attitude that he had. You know, this mirrors what is written in Philippians chapter 2. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in a human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Following Christ means that there are times where we will suffer. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. So the Lutheran Study Bible has a footnote in this section that I like. It says, "One who is committed to the point of suffering, like Christ, has a new focus and is not occupied with personal pleasure. Though we continue to be sinners, we are declared righteous and saints before God. When we are in Christ, we know that we are forgiven and that we can live with a new attitude. The new attitude is that we are done with sin, that we've seen the suffering, the difficulties that pursuing our own pleasure can bring. And we don't need to chase after these pleasures that are only temporary, that don't last. And when that happens, Peter says, of course your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. And I like the way, this is from the New Living Translation, it says, you no longer plunge into it. It's like you're at the edge of the ocean, at the edge of a really deep pool, and sometimes we just jump in without even thinking into the flood of wild and destructive things. You know, a few years ago, I can remember being in Japan on a short-term mission trip. I brought some of my team to the ocean to a bay, and the waves were just coming in. And we were going into the water. We were having fun with it. But once in a while, the waves would pick us up, and then they would slam us down into the ground. It hurt, but then we kept going back in for more. You know, we were just plunging in to these wild waves. It was actually dangerous and kind of dumb. You know, we could have had our head, you know, smash onto a rock, and then we would have been in trouble. And sometimes that's what it's like when we pursue a sinful life. You know, there's all kinds of consequences and destruction that only awaits us. And when the time comes when we realize that and we say, you know what, I'm done. The people that we used to hang out with, our former friends, as this translates, said they feel threatened. They don't understand. You've changed. What's wrong with you? Are you too good for us? Why won't you join us anymore? You're just a goody two-shoes. You used to have fun. Now you're just boring. And you could probably go on with that. There's going to be a pressure to return to our former ways of life. Come back. It's only fill in the blank. But we are to continue to resist these temptations. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 says, throw off your old sinful nature and way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, that's the key. We don't do it through discipline and saying, I'm going to become a better person. Instead, we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. So let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. That we have to allow God to work in us, to change us, put on our new nature. You know, the old, the sinful nature has been put to death. And we are a new creation. You know, Peter talks about us being righteous, about being holy. Paul does as well, because we have been forgiven. And so we should have the same mindset, the same attitude as Christ had. So put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Peter continues. And he says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers over a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. You know, we looked at this section last July, so I'll go through a little more briefly. It says, you know, the end of the world is coming soon. The time is at hand. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. The end is coming soon, and so we need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time in fellowship with God. And if we think about it, it makes sense. I gave the illustration, you know, does anybody here remember getting hurt? You know, when you're a child and you get hurt, who do you want to go to? Yeah, you go to your mom, you go to mother. Sometimes you wait to cry until you get to mother. You're fine until you see mom, and then all of a sudden the tears flow. You know, but when we get hurt, there's this instinct in us, especially to go to mom, once in a while dad, but especially mom, because they know that mom will give them comfort. You know, so when the end is coming, we go to God because he's able to provide protection. He is our rock. He is our refuge, a shelter, a place to go in times of trouble. And so when we face a situation that is chaotic and as scary as the end of the world, we spend time with God. And prayer is more than saying, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. It's more than saying, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, those aren't bad, but prayer needs to go beyond that. Prayer is talking with God. It's not talking to God. That's sometimes how I treat it. I give God a list of my demands. I give him my wish list. So maybe not demands, but more like a letter to Santa. And, you know, Jesus, this is what I want. You know, meet my needs. But prayer is a conversation. It is talking with God. You know, we need to take time to listen to God. If we're the only ones talking, then it's not a conversation. So we take time to be still and to listen to God. So it says, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. But most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. So we pray and we show love to one another, to our neighbors. You know, and it's not talking about a romantic kind of love, but the kind of sacrificial love that God has for us. A love that seeks the well-being of another person. And of course, there are many ways that we can show this love. You know, the greatest love that we can do is to point somebody to Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus. You know, we are to put the interests of others ahead of ourselves, and we do that in so many different ways. And honestly, right now, the church, as a church, we have a huge opportunity to show love. You know, the outgoing Surgeon General said that in the U.S., we have a pandemic of loneliness, that there are so many people in this world, in our community, who are experiencing loneliness. They need others around them. Now, I don't know about in the U.S., but I've seen Mormons go out trying to evangelize in Japan and in Taiwan. And I don't agree with their message. It is wrong. They are not Christian. But they go out and they can have success because they actually, they go to people and they meet some of their needs, some of the loneliness that they have. They provide a community. And so, Mike, you were talking earlier about what a privilege it is to be in this family. You know, we have an opportunity to bring this sense of community and family to those around us. You know, it's rare that people will say, you know what, I've got enough friends. Or, you know what, I don't need anybody to be kind to me anymore. I don't need anybody to love me. You know, I'm good. You know, we do this, and it brings glory to God. And how do we do it? Well, God equips us. He gives us spiritual gifts. God has given you, each of you, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And we are supposed to use them to build up the kingdom of God. It might be the gift of speaking. It might be the gift of hospitality. It might be the gift of helping. You know, whatever it is, God also gives you the strength and the energy to use it. After this, Peter goes back into suffering again. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. But instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. So Peter's pretty clear. We shouldn't be surprised if we go through trials and problems in this life. Now, I don't know how certain preachers that just preach that God wants to bless you, that God wants to give you good relationships, that he wants to make sure that your finances, you know, are really secure, you know, the so-called prosperity gospel, I don't know how they deal with this passage. Because the Bible is pretty clear that we are going to suffer. Maybe physically. Maybe financially. But there's going to be all kinds of suffering. But we are not supposed to be surprised by it. And we shouldn't feel alone Because you're not the only one who has gone through these things. Now, it's not to dismiss it, but it's so that you can go to God and that you can go to others and you can find support and that you can find encouragement through it. You know, there are times when we suffer because we're doing the wrong things. You know, I can suffer because I've made a bad decision. You know, and Peter's pretty clear, says, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. So if we're going to suffer, make sure it's for doing good and not for doing evil. You know, suffer for the right reasons. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits for those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? You know, the last part is a quote from Proverbs. You know, Peter is clear that judgment will come. Part of that, we wonder, how long will I have to suffer? You know, you look at the Psalms, you look at Job, and there are these laments, how long, O Lord? Or sometimes we wonder, why aren't they suffering? You know, this person is evil, how come they're not suffering? Peter's pretty clear that judgment will come. And the thing is that we don't have to worry if we believe in Jesus Christ. You know, Peter gives promises of that, the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus, knowing that our sins are forgiven, part of the family of God, and we can stand secure. And then Peter ends with a promise. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. So God has created you. God loves you. And there's this promise that God will never fail you. It's good news, isn't it, Carol? Yeah. We don't like to suffer, but there's this encouragement. So let me read this one more time in closing. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. Trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise that you will never fail us. We have the promise that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And Lord, may we remember that. At all times, you promised this so many times. Jesus tells us that he will never leave us, that he will always be with us, even to the very end of the age. So, Lord, when we go through difficult times, when we go through suffering, may we keep our eyes fixed upon you. Lord, may we encourage and show love to those around us who are experiencing difficulties and suffering. May we find ways to uplift them, to love them. Lord, and when, you know, even our former friends try and get us to slide back into a way, a life of sin, Lord, give us the strength to resist and to say no. Even if they ridicule and make fun of us, Lord. You know, God, we just thank you again for your goodness, your mercy. God, we thank you that you never fail us. know, that is the hope that we have. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.